Good morning, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, I want to thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for blessing us this opportunity to come together and gather together as a body to just to hear from you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll anoint my tongue, Lord, that whatever I pray, Lord, whatever I speak, Lord, will be of you. Anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will not come out of my mouth, Father God, Lord. And I pray that people will register for whatever you want to speak into their hearts, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way with us. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Good morning. Today I'll continue to share the fifth I Am statement that Jesus made in the book of John. So let's turn our Bibles to John 11, and we'll be reading from verses 17 to 45. So John 11, verses 17 to 45. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem and 15 stadia away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. So then Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise from the dead." Mary said to him, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she left and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard this, she got up quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and were consoling her, when they saw that Mary had gotten up quickly and left, they followed her, thinking that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So when Mary came to the place where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could this man who opened the eyes of the man who was blind not have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he had been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. But I knew that you always hear me. Nevertheless, because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Out came the man who had died, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Amen. So last time when I shared about Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd in John 10. And during that time, many Jews who were listening understood he was claiming to be their Messiah and claiming equal with God, and got angry and wanted to kill Jesus by the end. So Jesus has to leave Jerusalem. He traveled across the east of Jordan River and was at a place called Bethabara, about 30 to 35 kilometers from Bethany, and stayed there, and it's around a day's journey. We haven't read it today from verses 1 to 6 of John 11. While Jesus was there in Bethabara, his friend Lazarus fell sick. And his sisters, Martha and Mary, sent a messenger to look for Jesus to pass him a message that Lazarus is sick. And as far as praying, because the whole chapter actually have a lot of things to share, and it's a blessing to learn so much. But I just want to focus on why Jesus delayed, and the first part of the conversation between Jesus, Mary, and Martha. And I pray that it will speak to you. So let's start with the Jesus' delay. So in the beginning of John 11, when the messenger arrived and told Jesus, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Jesus heard and replied, "This sickness is not meant for death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." The word "sick" used to describe Lazarus' situation was deathly sick and continuing to deteriorate. So there was a sense of urgency and seriousness in the situation. The messenger basically was telling Jesus that Lazarus is dying. The messenger then probably returned back to Mary and Martha and tell them what Jesus said, which was that the sickness is not meant for death. Then we read in verse 5 and 6 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and because he loved them, he decided to stay 2 more days. When I read this, I was like, and I asked myself, why didn't Jesus go immediately on hearing that his friend Lazarus was dying? Isn't that the most loving thing to do when you hear a friend that he's dying and someone came to tell you and you at least go and see that person? Why didn't Jesus went with the messenger? What was his purpose? Did Jesus intentionally let Lazarus die when he could have saved him? So to understand the purpose of the delay, we have to understand the timing of when Lazarus died. I know it's early in the morning, but this is a bit of a math, so try to follow me here. We know that Lazarus was dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived, when we read in verse 17. And it takes around 1 day's journey from Bethabara to travel to Bethany. So if we work backward, we know that Lazarus was dead for 3 days when Jesus started making his journey. On the other end, when the messenger left Bethany, we are sure that Lazarus was still alive. Otherwise, what would be the point of going to tell Jesus if he was already dead by then, right? So what does this all mean? If Lazarus was dead 4 days by the time Jesus arrived in Bethany, and Lazarus was still alive when the messenger left Bethany, it meant that Lazarus died shortly after or within a day of the messenger leaving. It also means that by the time Jesus heard about Lazarus' situation, he was already dead. Sometimes it's hard to think about this because nowadays, by a message, by a WhatsApp, we can send information to other people. But in those days, we have to include also the traveling time for the news to travel. So if you think about it, he could have also went with the messenger when he knew that Lazarus was already dead, and he still could have went and could have raised Lazarus on the second or third day of his death, right? This actually helps us to understand why that Jesus intentionally wanted to raise Lazarus on the fourth day. That's why he delayed for 2 days. But what could be the reason? So the significance of why 4 days was that there was a Jewish rabbinical superstition or idea that when a person dies, his or her spirit will hover over the dead body for 3 days, and it was still possible for that spirit to go back into the body and the guy will come back to life. So they believed on the fourth day, it's usually when the body starts to decay, the spirit will look at the body and will see that the body is getting too ugly. There will be no chance of going back in. So the spirit will leave and the chance of the person coming back to life was zero. Not saying that Jesus believed in such superstitions, but Jesus would be aware that his enemies will try to negate each of his miracles. Therefore, he didn't rush to Bethany and raise Lazarus from dead. Jesus let enough time to pass to make it absolutely certain on what he was about to do was completely against the norm or the nature of in anyone's mind. It wasn't superstition that raised Lazarus. It was God and his power that raised Lazarus. Another reason of delaying until the fourth day was that more and more people can witness what Jesus was about to do and give glory to God. So the Jewish tradition that they usually mourn for a month or even longer. And during the first 3 days is mostly the mourning time for families and members. And on the fourth day is when the friends and other people who knows that person that has been deceased will come and pay their respect and mourn together with the family. So we know that Jesus was Lazarus' friend. So he showed up on the fourth day. And Jesus also made sure that fourth day is usually when there's the highest number of people that will be showing up in the for the mourning. So he made sure that more people can see what he was about to do. So what am I trying to say among all this? What I'm trying to say is that Jesus was not late. He was perfectly on time. Sometimes we see God's delay as a delay, but it's God's perfect timing. So I just want to ask you this today. Is there something you feel is being delayed in your life? An unanswered prayer? A promise that God made? Remember that the delay is for God's glory. Also, same as Jesus delayed because he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, in the same way, the delay is because he loves you. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Now, let's look at Martha and Mary's conversation with Jesus. From verses 20 to 32, we know that at some point, both sisters went to meet Jesus and had a conversation with him. But I want to focus on for the first part of the sentence for both of them. They both started off with exactly the same sentence when they met Jesus. They both said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Exactly the same. How I wish that John would have had added the tone of how they spoke to Jesus. It would have helped us so much. Were they complaining to Jesus for being late? Or were they just expressing their pain and disappointment on what things could have been if he was there? So I believe that from Mary and Martha's perspective, even if Jesus came with the messenger immediately, it would have been too late because Lazarus was already dead by then. So I do believe when Mary and Martha were saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," it was more like things would have been so different if you were here while Lazarus was sick. They were honestly stating their disappointment in Jesus not being there when they needed him. They believed that Jesus was able to heal their brother while he was sick. More like their understanding was that Jesus was able to heal, but raising someone from the dead, no way. Their feelings were more of a disappointment and hopeless on how things could have been if Jesus was there. But oh boy, how their view and understanding of Jesus was going to change. While both came with the same understanding, a limited understanding, I would say, of Jesus, Jesus responded to them very differently. So Martha is known to be a busy and stressed one who is always serving and running around. And she is known to be the person that who is more cognitive type of person. When Martha found out that Jesus was coming, she heads out and went to have a talk with Jesus. Knowing how Martha is wired, Jesus gave the fifth I am statement to her. and told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus asked her, do you believe this? So what Jesus was trying to do is to bring Martha's cognitive thinking to a better understanding of his nature and who he is. While Mary was known to be the sensitive type and the emotional one, she will be always sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, understanding what he is, trying to understand what he is saying. It's more a relational type person. So what Jesus did? He wept with her. He identifies with her feelings, even though he knew that Lazarus was going to be raised. I mean, if you think about it, like, if I'm Jesus, I'm going to raise that person anyway, so what's the point of crying with her, right? So, but Jesus is different. Like, he identifies with people's pain, and he will weep with that person. Jesus didn't ignore the pain of Mary and those that were with her. Then Jesus moved into action to show everyone something that they have never seen or imagined before. He went to the tomb and ordered the stone to be removed, upon which Martha informed Jesus about her view of reality again, which was Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. It's impossible for him to be alive. And there would be a stench, a decaying body, a stench coming out from it. Which shows that during the conversation between Jesus and Martha, Martha still didn't fully understand what Jesus can do and he can turn things around. Jesus' response was simple. He basically said, trust me. Then Martha had a choice to allow the stone to be removed or not. So without Martha's consent, the stone would not have been removed. She claimed to have said that she believed in Jesus, and now she has to decide to act or not act on that faith. Gladly, Martha acted on that faith, even she didn't fully understood, but she said she was okay to remove the stone from the tomb. And then Jesus prayed. Jesus did not ask for the ability to raise Lazarus, nor ask the Father to raise him. He approached the tomb with complete confidence, knowing that he was about to do what was the Father's will, and therefore knowing that the Father would provide the ability. He commanded Lazarus to come out, and Lazarus walked out. What a sight that would have been for all those that were witnessing this greatest miracle. May I invite Marcus to... When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was claiming to be both. He was claiming to be the source of both resurrection and the life. There is no resurrection apart from him. And there is no eternal life apart from him. Beyond that, Jesus was also making a statement concerning his divine nature. He does more than give life. He is life, and therefore death has no ultimate power over him. When he was proclaiming this, he asked Martha, do you believe this? For Martha, the obstacle to fully believe in Jesus' ability to raise someone from the dead was she was always looking back at what happened and thought of what if Jesus was there, how things could have been different. Instead of looking in the future. One of the enemy's tactics to slow us down from understanding who Jesus is and what he can do is always to make us look back at what things could have been. What if I had chosen a different job? What if I married someone else? What if I made a different investment decisions? What ifs, and what ifs? Today, the same question Jesus asked Martha is asking you and me. Do you have a situation where it seems all hope is gone? And all you are sitting there is thinking, what if I have made a different decision back then? What if I said a different word back then? Things would have been so different. Now, do you believe Jesus can resurrect and give life to your situation that seems to be dead and buried? Do you believe this? Let's pray.
Never once Did you leave us on our own? You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
I just want to, that whoever is listening or here in the sanctuary, just spend some time to pray, to call out the Lazaruses in our lives. Remember that the power that Jesus had to raise someone from the dead is the same power, the same Holy Spirit that we have in our lives. So we can speak to our situations that seems to be dead and buried behind a stone. We can also call out the same death situation back into life. But like Martha, we have to take away the stone first. We have to trust and have faith in Jesus that He can turn things around. We have to take away the stone that is stopping the situation to come back to life. So let's pray and spend some time to stir up our faith and to speak to our situations individually in our lives. Yes, Lord. Father, we believe that You are the resurrection and You are the life. And now, right now, we speak life into our situation. Speak life into our situation. We call out the Lazaruses that are in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name and the mighty power, we call out all the death situations back to life right now in Jesus' name. Father God, thank You that You hear our prayers. Father God, thank You that the resurrection power, we have a God that can resurrect situations. We have a God that can raise people from the dead. We know that we have a God that can raise situations in our lives back from the dead. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for being such a good and powerful God that we know. So now let's turn our attention to the community prayer focus. Let's pray. Let's pray for these situations that seems to be hopeless, and pray for the people that are on the screen or on the PowerPoint, that the situation for them will come back to life. So let's start with the community that's going through cancer, chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters that are ill, but also pray for the salvation for them. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters and our communities that are going through infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for healing from all the situations that they are in. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Now let's turn our attention to the mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, open doors for ministry. Let's pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, spin and spill services and activities, and all meetings, whether it'll be physical or online. Pray for the house churches that are meeting today, Hollywood, King's Court, Mawan, and Southside. And finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Continue to pray for wisdom for all the people that are running this city, all the people that are in charge of decision-makings for this city. So continue to pray for the COVID situation to improve. And continue to pray for Christians in this city to rise up and shine so that we'll be a better reflection of who Jesus is, and that we can be, yeah, we can just be ambassadors for Jesus, whether it be our workplaces, our homes, even when we are walking around, and we'll be ambassadors of Jesus. Yes, Father God, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for continue to revealing to us the resurrection power that you have and the life that you can bring into us, the Zoe life that you can bring into us. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless us throughout the rest of the day and rest of the week, Lord. I pray that you'll continue to guide us, Father God. Continue to guide us on how to reach out to a world that is lost, how to continue to be a better reflection of who you are, and continue to bring resurrection into people's lives, and not just physical lives, but also spiritual lives. Father God, we want to thank you and continue to bless the day in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Continue to have your prayer, quiet prayer time.